Cop Chasers, and happy Friday, September 24th. I am Allison, the host of Pop Chaser, a daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. Every day, we will go through the headlines and break them down together. Of course, I cannot do this alone. I've been teasing her all week, and I am joined by Kea, The Dip's social media manager. Hi, Kea.
Hello. Thank you for having me back on. I already told you that, you know, anytime I'm on here is a treat, but especially when you respect my brand and save any Tarek and Heather and Selling Sunset news for me to be on the pod, especially here on a Friday, the best day of the week.
I know we're welcoming in the weekend. We have so much to get into. I think we should just, let's kick it off with something that happened on Wednesday night during Watch What Happens Live. So let's get into it.
Okay.
Oh, I shouldn't tell it.
Well, now you gotta tell it, Sutton. Oh, sorry.
No, it's a telltale, and I maybe shouldn't tell it. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so a few years ago, this is really bad. Okay, I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
So a few years ago, Harry and Lisa both came. I invited them to the Elton John gala.
Okay.
And they came with me as my guest. I never got a thank you.
Oh. All right. Lisa Rinna just posted on her story to you.
Uh-oh.
That they did not come as your guests, that Elton invited them.
Okay. See, we're going to have words about this.
Okay.
So we all watched the Beverly Hills episode. Very good. We appreciate it for what it was. But Sutton Strack was on Watch What Happens Live on Wednesday night after the episode aired. And she had some interesting things to say. And I'm not even talking about the whole Erica scandal. I'm talking about a Lisa Rinna bit of tea, just a spot of tea that we need to get into.
Right. And the big reactions from Andy. Like, because he thought she was going to spill something hotter, but he's like, okay.
Well, okay, so I just played the clip of it in the beginning of this segment, but let's break it down a little bit more. On Watch What Happens Live, Sutton very apprehensively shared that she had invited when they were discussing the sauce and how Garcelle didn't send a text message to Rinna saying thank you for Harry's sauce, which is starting to almost feel like the pasta, like a Vanderpump Rules. The sauce is becoming the pasta, and we just need to put those two together. But Sutton says, well, I have a little bit of information, and shared that she invited Rinna and Harry to Elton John's benefit, his big gala, $10,000 a seat, and they did not thank her. So she bought an entire table, which obviously costs a small fortune, but, you know, we love Sutton for her generosity. Right. And they didn't say thank you. Rinna had something to say about this.
Immediately, like, she was watching it and she posted to her story that they were invited.
Yeah. So she says that she was invited to the gala by Elton John, which it feels to me like maybe she wasn't, like, that's just not something you get wrong, but maybe, as Sutton said, it was a misunderstanding. Sutton being this small Southern girl, or whatever Erica called her,
that Southern hospitality, that, Miss Small Town.
Yeah, Miss Small Town. I think that Sutton was being very generous when she was just like, well, that's not true, but maybe it was a misunderstanding. Because I don't know how you go from I got a whole table to you were individually invited, but it to me, I'm just kind of like, it is pretty embarrassing. Like, I mean, I know we're talking in very relative terms here because there are a lot bigger embarrassing accusations going out this season.
We're in Housewives world. Yeah. So every little thing counts. That's not the Erica storyline. So next to the Erica storyline, this is quite embarrassing.
It is, because this is all about wealth, you know?
Yeah.
And who, exactly. You know.
The second richest, now that Kathy's there, but, you know, Lisa Rinna literally introduced Sutton as the rich woman, and, you know, she is the rich woman.
She's rich,
what,
honey.
Do you think? Like, people have been saying that, okay, this is Team Rinna, because everyone knows that a lot of people are on Team Sutton. Team Rinna is saying that Sutton is about to use this for a storyline for the new season, since they've already wrapped and filmed. What do you think?
No, I think that it's too small. I think it's, I mean, let's just hope to God, because this feels like another Lucy apple juice all over again, just truly waiting to happen. I think that it was Sutton saw this as an opportunity to be a little shady, and she went through with it, even if she was apprehensive. And I think it was a great move. I thought it was, I think that it was, I wish it would have happened before the reunion. That's what so many
Right.
things Sutton said actually last on Wednesday night, I wish had been held until the reunion. But do you think when it comes to everything else happening, like she was holding back with like Erica talk and all of that. And I don't remember if it was you or if it was our colleague Samantha Bush, aka Bravo historian, who said that maybe they ended the reunion on a high note and everyone was pretty copacetic. And so Sutton doesn't want to stir up more drama by being quoted on Watch What Happens Live about Erica again, because perhaps they're all
Ooh.
trying to move on. If that's the case, I'm like, girls, but we have to film a next season. So let's not be
Yeah.
too nice.
Yeah, because we don't want to keep going through like the same
No.
storylines. Like, we don't want to keep going through the legal mess of Erica. We want to see, well, I don't know about we, but I want to see Erica put Erica Jane back on, but with the Erica Jane budget and not the Erica Girardi budget. Like, we have to
Wait, but the
move on.
clip, was it the cl a clip of next week where Erica is like, I don't have a dollar to my name, and she's sipping champagne.
Like, okay, if she has no money, I also have no money.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it
what's
was just a
very
rich
applicable?
moment, a really good moment. I do want to just mention a video that I saw that I found really disturbing, which was a paparazzi confronted Tom Girardi and asked him if he thought Erica knew about what was going on. To me, that is so low, but I will say in this video, Tom looks very unwell. We're not going to share it. We're not going to link to it just because it just feels kind of gross. But it really did surprise me to see him in a state that I truly didn't even recognize him, just from the very few moments that we did see him on the show. It was pretty alarming. So, with that said, I don't even think anything he said in that video can be used legally
No.
speaking, but
Also, if you watched it, he paused before he answered that big question.
yeah.
So it's just not,
It's
yeah. It
just it was just felt
wasn't
so
fun. It was
gross.
just,
Yeah,
yeah.
it wasn't fun at all. I just like let's not do that. There should be enough to work with, right?
There
Like,
is enough to work
yeah,
with.
we're
There's
like
so many unanswered questions. There's so many different angles you can come at this with.
Yeah, there's just so much other stuff that we can deal with. Okay, let's move on to the next topic, which is a lot of Netflix news.
I have some ideas about marketing Dolore that I would like to share with you.
Very sexy, no?
Sexy or sexist?
What is the problem?
With all due respect, I have been sent here for a reason.
So much Netflix news is coming out this week. I know I went through the entire spooky slate for Netflix that's coming out over the next month and a half, but there's even more that we need to discuss. First of all, Emily in Paris season 2 is coming this year, you guys. This
Did not
year.
expect that.
I did not expect it, especially because they filmed in Paris semi-recently with the pandemic. I figured, okay, maybe early next at best.
Right, Max. And I just want to say, I know that she was snubbed at the Emmys, but she's been in Paris with her Chanels, and I think that we will see more of that. So take that, Ted Lasso. How many Chanels does Ted Lasso have? That's what I want to know. Thank you.
But yeah, she has a ton of Chanels on a marketing assistant budget, which we love to see.
At 22.
Yeah, while studying abroad or working abroad. So she's paying for all of that too. But anyway, I'm so excited about that. Season 2 photos also came out, and interestingly enough, Emily is seen with Camille, her friend, whose ex-boyfriend Emily slept with in the finale, and then he's not going anywhere if we remember correctly. So I'm wondering, like, I think his name was Gabriel. Is Gabriel just like a thing of the past? Are they not? Does Camille even know? Also, there's a new love interest, a very, 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 very beautiful new love
Yes.
interest, played by a man named Lucien Le Viscount. I hope I said that right. And he's stunning. He'll play a man named Alfie. And Alfie is both infuriating and also intriguing to Emily. So it very much sounds like an enemies to lovers romance. And I'm kind of, I think that that makes sense for a season two of Emily, right?
Absolutely. I can't wait to see it. Like, I'm excited. It's just one of those shows that you just put on and you watch and then you're kind of invested, but you really don't care what happens. Yeah. But you still want to Google certain things just to see if certain things make sense, but you don't. I will never forget that experience. And even just reading about the backstory, how she's supposed to be 22 and like the costume and designs. It's such a good show, a fun show.
Such a fun show. Okay, speaking of things that you do care about, what happens? Netflix also announced that they have a huge slate of true crime documentaries coming out, not only at the end of this year, but into the early beginning of next year. And guys, when I say the next three words, you're going to freak out. This year we are getting, well, those aren't the next three words. Here they are. Tiger King 2. With new footage of Exotic Joe from prison.
And he has bangs. Like, he has literal those bangs that your mom would give you before picture day and you would hope that they fall out. So you're just trying to rearrange them. He has bangs, blonde bangs. He has bangs, okay?
He has bangs. Yeah, it is shocking to see him live from prison, but I can't wait. I'm wondering how involved Carol will be because she was pretty mad about the first go around, but at the same time, like, this is paying your checks now, girl. Like, you need this. Also coming to Netflix are a few other true crime documentaries that I just want to shout out. One of them is called The Puppet Master Hunting the Ultimate Con Man, and it is coming out in January. It tells the story of the world's most audacious con man who was convicted in 2005 for stealing fortunes and destroying multiple lives. I'm in. The next one, this is the one that I'm most interested in, The Tinder Swindler. It's exactly like John Tucker Must Die. It is about a man who posed as a billionaire playboy on Tinder and the women who set out to bring him down. Doesn't that sound good?
Women, like, that's the statement. I cannot wait to see these girls get together and take down this dude, because it's already bad enough if you catfish someone, but to catfish as a rich person, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever happened is, you know, deserved.
Another one, con man trend does not end here. It's called Trust No. Also Tinder Swindler comes out in February. So many February releases already. We also have Love is Blind, so they're really making us wait for these things.
Valentine's Day, baby.
You're right. Just love. Trust No One, The Hunt for the Crypto King. As if I understood cryptocurrency, I will after this documentary. It'll trace the investigation of investor turned sleuths who are desperate to find out what happened to the cryptocurrency multimillionaire Jerry Cotton, who they believe might have stolen $250 million. And finally, there is a documentary called Bad Vegan about the vegan fugitive who was conned out of millions by a man who convinces her that he can expand her food empire and make her beloved pit bull immortal. So I think we're in for some really good true crime docs. You were not expecting the Pitbull thing.
What? Immortal? That's the one that I'm probably looking forward to the most after this Tinder one, obviously, because yeah, that hits a little bit close to home. Yeah. But that, the Pitbull immortal thing, I was not, my jaws dropped, guys, literally.
And then also, just a note, Netflix is having a huge, cyber virtual event on Saturday, which, Kaya, you're excited to tune into, right?
Oh, my God. Yes, they are going to be having panels behind the scene, images on all those good interviews hosted by some of the biggest stars in the world. It's on Saturday. It's at 12 p.m. EST. Big Mouth, Emily in Paris, Bridgerton, all those good shows that we know and love are, you know, slated to be discussed. And I can't wait. It's like my Coachella from my couch. It's being live streamed on YouTube and no one's talking about it, but I'm talking about it.
And now everyone who listens to Pop Chaser will be talking about it. Also Stranger Things. We're going to get some first looks, some trailers for the shows that we've been waiting so long for. Hopefully a premiere date for Stranger Things too. I'll tell you, if Stranger Things comes out at the end of this year, I'm going to combust. It's too much.
Simply pass away. That's, yeah.
No. I will respectfully pass away because it'll just be too much content.
We have you in October. We just had Sex Education. Like, listen, content is king, but also give me some time.
Give me a moment to breathe, please. You know, like the, if I can smell your breath, you're too close. That's how I feel about content.
And Netflix is just like, here, you're complaining here.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they're like, we can't win. It's like, we give you content, it's too much. We don't give you content, you complain. Okay, let's talk about the next thing, which is the very anticipated trailer for Spencer starring Kristen Stewart.
3 days, that's it. Just a moment.
Getting quite serious about you. So stand very still and smile a lot. They know everything.
They don't.
So Kristen Stewart says a total of 58 words in the Spencer trailer, which is over 2.5 minutes. Yes, over 2.5 minutes long. She says 58 words. I mean, keep in mind, last time when we got the teaser for the trailer, I very closely compared Diana's voice to Kristen.
So much, like both in real life and on the podcast.
That was two words. But yeah, I think that, look, I watched the trailer. I am still going to go in very cautiously optimistic into this one because I think I was expecting more from the trailer. Like I said, there's 58 words that she speaks. So we're not really getting a ton of Diana in action. Well, but at the same time, Diana is at one point, Kristen as
she
Diana
is
sprinting,
her life.
Sprinting.
That's why I'm just like, where the hell have you been, Loka? Like, she's running like when she first got turned into a vampire and she was hungry and Edward took her out into the woods. I'm just spiraling down Twilight. My brain is swollen. But that's why I'm just like, okay, this is Bella.
Wait, you have to make that on TikTok, the where the hell have you been, Loka, of her running as Diana.
Consider it done.
You guys check out the dip on TikTok. But yeah, it is tough to kind of really understand, but so many places that have screened the film already have said that she nails this accent and that people will not be disappointed. They do keep comparing it to Jackie, which obviously Natalie Portman was incredible in, and it's also by the same filmmakers. So there are a lot of comparisons there. There's a lot of reason, I think, to be hopeful. But I think I was a little underwhelmed at the trailer just because there was just so much emotion. Also, I think that I said about the teaser, usually I'm just like, oh, this is Kristen Stewart playing a character. And I didn't feel like that in the teaser because it was only like 18 seconds long. But because now that I've seen it I've seen a little bit more footage, to be industry terms, I did have a couple moments where I was like, okay, Kristen Stewart as Diana.
I think that I'm just a little bit, you know, not satisfied. I won't say disappointed because I'm going to give the movie a chance.
Yeah.
But I'm just not satisfied because the stills, I'm like, that is Princess Diana. Whereas in the actual movie, and I'm seeing her move around and I'm seeing her, you know, talk and slam the table, I'm just like, that's Bella.
Yeah. Kaya is a huge Twilight fan.
If you couldn't tell.
Yeah. Did you end up getting that purse?
I sure did.
You sure did.
Follow my personal at the Black Nanny Friend. I will be debuting it in October.
I can't wait. It's just a little baguette bag that Kaya bought that features some Twilight.
I did a poll about it. Everyone said don't. And of course I had to do it anyway.
Yeah. Why are you trying so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out?
Thank you.
Okay, so that's Diana. There's one more thing that we have to discuss. And I've talked about this a couple of times this week, but I always said I cannot have a full conversation by myself about this wonderful couple, Tarek Al-Musa and Heather Rae Young, without I have to have Kea with me. So Kea, what is up in your corner of the world where you care so much about Tarek Al-Musa and Heather Rae Young?
And I don't know why. I think it all stems from Selling Sunset. It has to, because I can tell you this. I haven't been watching Flipper Flop, but I've been following Tarek because he is just, talk about chaos. If you guys think that I'm chaotic, this man is, maybe he's my male equal, and maybe that's why I'm just so
drawn to him naturally.
Come on, divorce. Yeah. He has COVID and he doesn't have any symptoms. He has a breakthrough case because they're both vaccinated. He's the reason that Selling Sunset is paused right now. So I'm really beefing with him on that because we can't go without Selling Sunset at least filming, and they've been filming for a while. So he has a breakthrough case. Heather is negative. His daughter's birthday was yesterday, and I saw some concerning things going on. I do want to say that they claim that every test after that initial positive test has been negative, so it may have been a false positive. But he was hanging out with his children. They're supposed to be quarantined, quote unquote, because it was his daughter's birthday yesterday. And he was like hugging, and there were people over. And then I went to Christina Hack's Instagram, and her daughters were, you know, by that time, they made it over to the mom's house, Christina Hack, who's newly engaged to Joshua Hall.
Yes.
And I'm just like, hey, this is not quarantine.
How do you keep all these names? How do you keep all these names in order, Kea?
I was up at midnight preparing for Pop Chaser, looking through everyone's Instagram, and it was just so concerning. But that's what's going on. And I have some more wedding news. You guys will be satisfied to know this. I don't have a date. Don't know what day it's going to happen. No, it's going to happen next month. But Heather is so relieved because originally they were going to have their wedding in Mexico at a resort that they love. But now it has been moved to California. And the reason that they did that is because both of their parents had some health issues. Mm. So they definitely don't want to put them in the mix of having to travel on top of, you know, COVID being a thing already. So I'm just so happy that Heather and this engagement is almost coming to a close because we've just been through such a journey.
We have. We
this
really
whole
have.
Time.
I was so scared this COVID thing was going to have them postpone the wedding. Speaking of weddings, just before we get into the next bit of Tarek news, right. Amanda and Kyle are getting married this weekend. So if you're a Summer House fan, watch that Instagram space for BTS footage, or at least pages. I don't think you're going to...
And on Wednesday, I hope you guys saw the Winter House like teaser. There's a second teaser that Bravo put out.
Yes.
It was so good.
Okay. So there is another element to Kea's Tarek corner.
This is really what I came here for.
That is truly the reason that this whole podcast exists. And that is, you know, I'll just let you explain it because you're the one that presented it.
Okay. It is time for People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive. You know, sometimes it's rigged, sometimes we agree, but there's a part where people are able to vote in different categories this year. You vote and then you have to put in your email. It's okay, just give him a false email, don't worry about it. But I need you to vote for Tarek because he is nominated, honey, and he's under the category of who is the sexiest real estate king. And I'm going to tell you his competition because he has some heavy competition here. It's Chip Gaines, like, hold on now. Jonathan Scott, Drew Scott.
So twins. Mind you,
the twins. The other one nominated is Jason Oppenheim, aka Chrishell's man, aka King of Selling Sunset, who has a twin brother who is not nominated. So there was one, this was a pointed choice, in the words of Ariana Maddox, a pointed choice to nominate Jason Oppenheim and not Brett Oppenheim. And
especially because they have the Scott twins.
Because they deserve it. Yeah.
Like, how do you have one set of twins and then not the other? And my question is, for the twins out there, if Jason were to win this, does that in turn mean Brett wins too? Another question.
No, I think it means that I'm not going to say ugly. I don't use that word. Who's the less attractive twin?
Who's the, what's the Kourtney Kardashian thing?
the least interesting.
Yeah, least interesting to look at. I will say though, I would assume Tarek will win, and this is why, because it's not going to be Chip. Please. It's not going to be Chip.
You don't think so?
No, but I think that Jonathan and Drew are, especially because the photo that they used for Chip makes him look just rugged. But Jonathan and Drew are going to split the votes for the Scott brothers. That's like lesson number one when it comes to polling and voting.
But one is, that's what I'm thinking though, all of these men and they're like the women, because Heather is rallying for Tarek, but we have Zooey Deschanel dating one of the twins.
But which one is it?
I don't know the difference. Like, I'll be honest.
I don't know which one she's dating either. Drew, I think it's Drew.
Right, I'll go with that.
No, it's Jonathan. It's not. It's Jonathan. God, I had
whatever the opposite you think.
I had 50-50 chance and I just completely lost it. I will say I would like to put some pressure behind the Pop Chaser listeners in voting for who's the sexiest TV chef, because on there you have Gordon Ramsay, Ludacris, Eddie Jackson, Anthony Perofsky, and the love of my life, Guy Fieri. Right. So if we could all throw some V's on my guy, you guys know this podcast is essentially guys, gals, and I haven't forgotten it. So just let's vote for Guy to be the sexiest, just honestly sexiest man alive.
He is. I know Ludacris, he's hot, but I don't see him as a chef. I see him as Luda. I see him as the Fast and Furious.
Yes,
king
exactly.
The,
that's what I was just gonna say. So. Yeah, I see Chris Bridges. I'm sorry, I didn't. But okay, I do want to just go through a couple of the other categories, and I know there's one more you want to discuss, Kaya. Who took the sexiest vaccine selfie? That's an actual category. Who is the sexiest housewife's husband? Do you have a thought on this?
So this is actually something that I am waiting to see who wins, because all jokes aside, we have Mauricio and Juan up against each other.
Yeah.
And this is open to not just within the Bravo fan base. This is open to the world. So the world is going to be looking at these men and people who are not familiar with the Real Housewives brand. Everyone always picks Mauricio, even though Juan is fine as hell. Like, I'm going to see who wins out of Juan and Mauricio. But the other ones nominated is Todd Tucker, Candy's husband, Bill Aiden, Jen Aiden's husband, and Harry Hamlin, Lisa Rinna's husband.
So, but the photos, again, the photos they chose are not, it's not a great photo of Mauricio. I think that there's a chance that Harry Hamlin wins this, and I'll tell you why. Because I think the people who are voting, the people audience, is maybe tuned into Harry Hamlin.
Because he's an actor.
Yeah. If they don't watch Housewives, they'll pick, like, Harry Hamlin is a name you know.
Yeah. He's the most famous of all of these people. My mom would definitely pick Harry Hamlin.
Okay, what's the other one that you wanted to discuss?
Oh no, that was literally it. I wanted to talk about vote for Tarek and also the housewives.
Husband. Oh, okay, good. Perfect. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Kaya, for joining me on this Friday episode. And thank you guys for listening to Pop Chaser. We will be back on Tuesday with more headlines. Until then, check out TV Watch Repeat. On Monday, we have a new episode coming out. It is revisiting the pilot of Gilmore Girls. It's going to be very exciting. And we are joined by Samantha Bush of Bravo Historian and Hot Off the Mess podcast. And yeah, I mean, follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. Kaya, you want to drop the handles really quickly?
Yeah, it's literally at thedip.com on TikTok, at thedip on Twitter, and at thedip on Instagram. And, you know, have a great first weekend of fall. Enjoy yourself a pumpkin spice latte and think of us while doing so.
There you go. And as we all raise our pumpkin spice lattes in the air and say cheers. Happy weekend, guys.